Hello again. I hope you're ready for tonight's edition. It's all about the letter E tonight. Let's get comfortable. It's a page 49E for eBay. eBay is wonderful for two simple reasons. One, if there is something you have always wanted to get hold of, even if it is extremely rare or obscure, you will find someone is selling it on eBay. And two, no matter how crap or apparently worthless the piece of junk you have lying around, you will find someone who's going to buy it on eBay. The next word, eGLUS. As little as 5 years ago, keeping chickens was something people did in the countryside. They were a rare sight in cities and urban areas. That was until four graduates from the Royal College of Art of London created the igloo, or igloo. An igloo is a plastic pod and run designed to enable people to keep chickens in even the smallest suburb gardens. Looking like a cross between a Lego brick and an IMAX screen, it comes in a variety of bright colours and has brought the joy of chickens. Turning the pages, one hand's a bit awkward. The joy of chickens to thousands of people who would otherwise never have considered it an option. Omelet, the company behind the igloo phenomenon, believes that this little creation is actively changing the lives of its owners. 90% of their orders come from people who have never kept livestock before, and 66% claim to have become more self-sufficient in other areas since their igloo arrived. The company have recently branched out into futuristic rabbit and guinea pig hutches and are going from strength to strength, bringing their green and pleasant philosophy to the greyer areas of the nation. Johannes Paul founded Omelet alongside James Tuthill, Simon Nichols, and William Wyndham. I asked him a few questions about their inspired invention. Where on earth did you get the idea for the igloo? Where on earth did the idea for the igloo come from? Sorry, I read that all wrong. It's funny, people often say, damn, I wish I'd thought of that, when they first see the igloo. But when we were originally toying with the idea at the Royal College of Art, everyone kept saying how daft it was. James had the original brainwave during our degree in the industrial design. He was trying to think of a final year project and mentioned that his mum had suggested designing a chicken house that was easy to clean, secure against foxes, and looked good in the garden. Simon, Will, and I got the potential of the concept straight away, and we all decided to take the project on after we graduated, and that was in 2003. They launched in May 2004 and it just took off. And we had a lead article in the Easter edition of the Saturday Times. announcing the Eglu as the must-have item that would overtake the iPod, and by Monday morning our inboxes were overflowing with emails from people from Canada to Japan wanting to know where they could get one. How does the finished version vary from the original concept? I think it's like all really good designs. The production version is actually very close to the prototypes. This is because the original concept had a real clarity of purpose about it. The Eglu broke new ground in the design of chicken houses, or, more broadly speaking, pet products, which until then hadn't been considered part of the normal territory for designers to explore. There is a strong community vibe on your website. Is the Eglu a lifestyle choice? Putting an Eglu and some chickens in your back garden is a real statement of intent. A lot of our customers are using the Eglu as a way to dip a toe into self-sufficiency. One day they'd like to move to the country and have pigs and maybe even a cow. But for now, the reality is children at school, work and other commitments, which make it tricky to move. The forum on our site, and we have now also added a wiki as well, are ways for Eglu owners to exchange tips, skills and knowledge, not just on hens, but many other topics too. Many have gone on to add a vegetable patch and sign up for, turn the page again, an allotment or even rear chickens to eat. Every now and again, someone announces they have escaped to the countryside and everyone else celebrates. It's like a prison break. How many eaglets have been unleashed on the world so far? Well, we have sold over 10,000 eaglets across the UK now. In terms of chickens, we estimate that's about 25,000 chickens laying around 7 million eggs a year. We also launched the Eglu in the States last year, and that's starting to take off. There is even an Eglu and two hens on Hawaii. I was seriously tempted to deliver that one personally. I would be too. Chickens, rabbits, guinea pigs. What's next for an omelette? The exciting thing, is how much potential the Eglu has given us for showing people that there is more, more to a garden than covering it in decking. In the UK, the UK is unique, as our towns and cities have an amazingly high percentage of houses with gardens. I think that the Eglu has been so popular because people discover just how much they can achieve, even from the smallest inner city plot. A couple of hens are as easy to look after as a goldfish and would probably provide a dozen eggs a week most of the year. Having vegetables growing in the garden, compost heaps and some chickens scratching about is so rewarding. Sure, it will require some time spent in the garden, but what's more important in life, eating well or catching the next episode of EastEnders. Do you think people who keep chickens are happier as a result? Yes. The thing about chickens is that as well as laying fantastic eggs, they are great pets too. Many a top executive who comes home stressed from the daily grind will go out to his back garden flock and after just a few moments in the company of his hens will realise that life boils down to the simple pleasures of collecting a fresh egg in the morning and cooking it for breakfast. Hens are great for putting things in perspective. Omelette and their many pet houses can be found at www.omelette.co.uk. Extra hour in bed. Oh, when the clocks go back. No, we've just had the clocks go forward, and I can tell you, it is a strain. And I suppose it's only equal measure is the extra hour in bed in the autumn when the clocks go back. Obviously, it isn't compulsory to stay in bed for the extra hour, and some people like to wake up as normal and make the most of the additional time. If you are one of those people, then I salute you and applaud you, but could you please keep the noise down? Well, you see, I think it's not just that one day when the clocks change, I think it's for the whole, at least 2 weeks afterwards. We're on F now. F. What's going to be in here? Falling in love. Now, I don't want to get all twee and slushy on you, and I promise not to linger on this one, but it would be remiss of me to ignore it. Falling in love is one of the most inspiring, life-affirming, empowering events we can experience. For some of us, it happens just once in a lifetime. For others, it seems to occur a couple of times every day. No matter the whys and wherefores, when it does happen, it is a thing to celebrate. As I write this, I'm looking across at the woman I love, and I find myself humbled and grateful. She makes me feel like I could move mountains. Not that I will. That would be foolish. I might just pop over and give her a kiss instead. Fat Duck Menu. In his small restaurant in Bray, a village in Berkshire that doesn't appear to have any pavements, Chef Heston Blumenthal has created the most unusual menu on the planet. Whether it be small snail porridge or his green tea mousse cooked in liquid nitrogen, the dishes are inspirational and slightly mad. Eating them is unforgettable, and I am delighted to report, unlike many posh restaurants, no one at the Fat Duck takes themselves remotely seriously. The waiters smile throughout. Some of the dishes are intended to make you laugh, and half the pleasure is in watching other diners tuck into the bizarre concoctions you yourself have just tried. Sardines on toast ice cream, anyone? Oh, God. Favourite shirt. We've all got one. Some moth-eaten old t-shirt or baggy button-down, which has become like an old friend. It is comforting to wear, and it's probably stuck with you longer than most of your friends. It becomes more threadbare with each wash, and it probably isn't fit to be worn outside the house, but for those cold winter nights in front of the telly or curled up in the armchair with a good book, there is nothing better. Field of Dreams. Not only does this feature film reduce most grown men to tears, they're quite happy to admit to it afterwards. On first glance, a movie starring Kevin Costner that features lots of baseball does not appear to be a recipe for a classic. But you will find Field of Dreams on most lists of the greatest films ever. Farmer Ray Kinsella ploughs through his cornfield when he sees a vision of a baseball diamond and a voice telling him, "If you build it, he will come." His neighbours think him mad, but after a long wait, the pitch is finally visited by the ghosts of dead baseball players. Ray is then sent on further quests that culminate with an emotional reunion with his dead father. So what is it that makes Field of Dreams such a memorable movie? My theory is that it touches a number of themes, each of which strikes a chord with a different member of its audience. You have a man following his dream, an emotional quest for lost heroes, the unifying power of sport, the magic of imagination, and one that gets you every time. What would you do if you had the chance to speak with the dearly departed? If you could speak with your dead father or one, just one more time, what would you say? The real inspiration for the movie is the source material, W.P. Kinsella's novel, Shoeless Joe. And it's every bit as magical as its screen adaptation, possibly more so, and introduces further elements to the story that did not make it to the final cut of the film, such as Ray's identical twin brother coming to stay in the middle of the upheaval. Fascinating fact. The owners of the land where the movie's baseball pitch was built have kept the diamond intact. And visitors are free to come and play baseball there whenever they wish. Finding something you thought was lost. The impact of this is amplified if you have genuinely given up hope of ever finding the item in question. I like that one. Fireworks. Fireworks were probably invented about 2,000 years ago in China. The popular myth is that a young cook accidentally mixed together sulfur, charcoal and saltpeter, all common in kitchens at the time. Makes you wonder what food tasted like. Then things literally went bang. It wasn't until 1,000 years later, however, that the firecracker was invented, also in China. But a young monk from the Luoyang region of Hunan province, his name was Li Tian, and his invention is celebrated on the 18th of April, oh, that's not long from now, each year, by the offering of sacrifices. Luoyang remains the centre of the world's firework manufacture to this day. As many public information films have told us, fireworks can be dangerous, but they also have the capacity to elicit collective gasps of awe from crowds of onlookers. They fill the skies with fire and colour, and are used as traditional celebration around the world. In the UK, their use tended to be restricted to bonfire night on November the 5th, but the growing ethnic population means that we can enjoy displays all year round, most notably during the Hindu celebration of Diwali, the festival of light, in autumn. One cast iron argument to use when people start spouting off about immigration is to point out that we get to see more fireworks now, and that usually shuts them up. The first page of a new book. Books are bloody marvellous. They can be life-changing, and they can inspire, and they can anger and incite. They can move you, they can educate you, they can fill you with ambitions and dreams. They can really change the world. Which is why starting a new book brings with it such a tingle of anticipation. You just don't know which of the above effects or any others you might have. It could be the best book you will ever read. You could be a different person by the end of it. Starting a new book reminds you that life has endless potential. I think we'll leave it there, because that's 20 minutes. That's a very nice thought, isn't it? About life. Well, good night.